Tubi. Man, this is fucking great, isn't it? Miles asked. On the big screen, baby. They hugged like brothers, patting one another on the back. They'd known each other since junior high school. It was their love of Return of the Living Dead that solidified their friendship. There were so many lines from that movie they used daily, preferably in the most inappropriate moments. All those years ago, they talked about making movies, and here they were, living the dream. Crowd kind of sucks, though, Miles said, running a hand through his hair. Leon shrugged. It's opening night. We tried to get the word out, but we're doing something revolutionary for indie filmmaking. We have to be patient. Oh, I know it. I hear you, man. I just kind of bummed the turnout wasn't better. Fuck it. Just watch the movie and enjoy. Fuck the audience. This one's for us. Miles nodded. Yeah, you're right. We deserve this. He revealed that he had a joint cupped in his hand. Leon glanced at the door to the projection tower. No one's coming in here, man, Miles said. Yeah, I guess you're right. Hell, no one who works here knows how to run an old projector. I'm kind of surprised they let us do this. Well, it's on us. We have to be careful with this stuff, too. I don't have backup reels, and we can't go digital. Traveling across the country with reels like William Castle or Herschel Gordon Lewis is the only way we're going to get authentic wear and tear on the film so that we get the look I want when this thing goes digital. I want it to look like some obscure film that hasn't been restored, like some undiscovered movie that popped up one day out of nowhere. Tarantino tried that with Death Proof. Leon shook his head. He didn't try it like this. Like that thing. Miles pinched the joint between his lips and sparked it up, passing it to Leon after taking a large puff. Corrine. The summer night was warm. Corrine wore shorts and a black and white striped shirt. She was grateful for deciding on the shorter haircut, considering her summer would be spent traveling across the country. She'd done her hair up in a style sort of like the 40s, but her attire wasn't anything close to what one would expect for a movie opening. This crowd is abysmal, Christian said to Corrine as they stood in front of the snack bar, looking at the tail ends of only a handful of cars at the drive-in. Christian was tall and hefty, but wore his weight well. He had a classic look like Marlon Brando or Orson Welles with a tight-clipped mustache and hard-lined face. I thought we'd promoted this better. Up on the screen as the credits rolled, Corrine saw her name, written by Corrine Kaiser. And though she, too, was disappointed in the turnout, she was proud to see her byline on the big screen. It gave her a small thrill, one she wished she'd been sharing with Leon rather than Christian. If this is what we're to expect, Christian went on, flicking his cigarette, then this whole thing is going to be a massive flop. Corrine shrugged. Give it time. This is just opening night. Corrine wanted to believe in Leon, in his vision, but in reality, she thought he was chasing a pipe dream. He wasn't the next Eli Roth, and his quest to make the perfect retro B-movie, warts and all, was something she almost didn't want her name involved with. But she couldn't deny how good it felt seeing it up there on the screen. She could get used to that sort of thing, though it would be nice to be paid for it. According to Leon, if everything went well after this drive-in theater tour, they would bank on the digital and Blu-ray release. Christian sighed. I went through a lot to generate funds for this pet project. Of course, I thought it would just go digital, you know, straight to some streaming service. But what the fuck are we doing out in Podunk, Idaho, debuting a fucking movie? Corrine hardly listened to Christian's blather. He was all talk. In the presence of Leon, he would be nothing more than complimentary and accommodating, then turn on him as soon as Leon turned his back. Christian had the chops to be a true Hollywood producer. He was a backstabber, a liar, and cunning. Corrine figured those were the fine qualities that managed to raise enough money to make a feature film and take it on the road like this. She figured Christian would make for a good character in one of her novels, but she knew better than to use anything that would even vaguely resemble him. If said novel actually became a bestseller and he got wind that his likeness was used, he'd sue the shit out of her to fund some other schlub's